Hello and welcome to the most recent episode of Life Coaching. I'm Mike Fitch. I have been more than a little absent lately in the podcast world. I have been reading a lot, evaluating more, and thinking even more. It's usually some inspiration that creates my podcasts, and for some reason that has been lacking of late. Today, I decided to push through. I want my podcast to be meaningful and helpful and not just something that I do in order to do, not something on a checklist. So I will try and be more regular with my broadcasts. I promise. I have started a second job working for a nonprofit by the name of Astegos, which I learned means homelessness in Greek. With this job, I'm helping the homeless in Boise, actually. I needed the money, but I also needed the purpose. I needed to feel like I was making a difference and helping people. So I took this opportunity to join up with AmeriCorps and see what I could do. I was lucky enough to get the opportunity to go to the Serve Idaho conference the last couple days in Boise. It was one of the best conferences I've ever been to, and I have been to a ton of conferences. And you always feel like if you're able to pull, you know, one or two things out of a conference that you go to, that it was beneficial. And literally, almost to the person, everybody that I interacted with at this Serve Idaho conference gave me something to take away. Literally, the speakers there were all tremendous. I felt like I learned a lot, which really isn't that all we can ask for when you attend such an event. And I'm hoping that the ideas that I garnered from this conference will fuel a couple podcasts, if not more. My topic today was not even generated by a speaker necessarily. My topic was brought on by a table talk, of all things. I'm not typically a big fan of these small breakout sessions. Sometimes they always just feel like a time filler. But the man in charge of this table that I was placed at was from the Ada County Medical Society. He was in charge of making sure that doctors in the valley do not get burned out, that they did not work themselves to the point of diminishing returns. Whether doctors are benevolent, empathetic creatures or not, they are all motivated by the desire to help. And so in doing the research for the help that they wanted to provide to doctors and the insight that they wanted to provide to practitioners in the medical field, they drew comparisons to the nonprofit world, and in my mind, the world of teachers. Part of the mistake that I made that set my world on end was not creating balance in my life. I created no creative, healthy, happy outlets for myself. I worked, and then I worked, and then I decided to do more work at work by coaching more. My hobbies were work. That was my entire existence. And I think in the education realm, it often becomes a lifestyle, not a profession. It is literally a way of life. Then I would come home and I would work some more. My principal job was probably 12 hours a day, roughly, when you figured in all the supervision. Then I coached basketball, which was a 5 to 6 month a year job. Then I started volunteering to coach football. And I'm not telling all of this to generate sympathy or paint myself as some benevolent creature. I did it all because I loved coaching and teaching. I loved helping. I loved the process of developing a team and working with the kids. But what I did not realize in that, in an attempt to find happiness, I was doing more. I was taking on more. I was making myself more busy. Instead of doing less and focusing on those things that really made me happy, the ability to strip away things that make you unhappy, I think, is a step in the right direction towards happiness. But so many of us get so consumed with taking stuff on, it's a badge of honor in the United States to work. To outwork people. You talk to people, I'm so busy. Oh my God, I worked so much. I put in this many hours. Internationally, I think we are looked at as crazy. I have a good friend in Scotland who looks at that and says, "You were nuts. We are absolutely, as Americans are crazy. We will work ourselves to death." And not necessarily always to the negative. One of the reasons that our country is so successful is that, but it's a cultural thing now that I think can be detrimental. It's looked at as selfish if you take time off. It's looked at as selfish if you establish some type of self-care to mediate all of your work, all of your going. And those of us that have kids, running kids everywhere, it's really endless. You can make yourself endlessly busy. And I even read a thing the other day on the coronavirus that the lack of availability of paid leave in the United States could affect the spread of the coronavirus. Now, I'm not freaking out about the coronavirus. I mean, it's serious and I get it, but I'm not going to freak out about it. But I thought that was interesting too, that this cultural habit that the United States has established for, you know, who can work the most, can be detrimental in multiple avenues. Any free time I had, I would play with my kids. Any and every opportunity that I got, I would make sure that I never said no if they wanted to play as long as I was home, which was part of the challenge. It did not supplant work. It simply pushed the work back. On top of my jobs with the school, we had acreage and cattle. We had always dabbled in cattle since we'd moved out to the country in 2009. First bottle calves, then yearlings, and it eventually evolved into a registered Angus cow-calf operation. Those of you that know anything about, you know, having animals, the degree of time that takes is immeasurable. So in the process of all of this, all of my hobbies died. Not that I had a tremendous amount of hobbies in the first place, but the few that I did have died. A friend of mine would drag me along on a fly fishing day once or twice a year. But other than that, my fun primarily revolved around work. I didn't exercise. I didn't read as much as I liked. I never went to the movies. I would binge watch college basketball or football games that I had recorded late at night. Not only was this pace detrimental to myself, but it ended up being very detrimental to my marriage and my family. I began to feel very resentful, understanding this was no one's fault but my own. There is no blame here except on me. But I was not happy. I looked around, and other than coaching, which is a ridiculously time-consuming and stressful job in and of itself, I found little joy in anything that I was doing. My resentment eventually built to a point where I lost myself and acted out in a very negative and destructive way. The terrible thing being, I was not only destructive to myself, but to so many people around me. In attempting to be the most unselfish person I could be by saying yes to everything, I ended up committing the most selfish of acts. And I did not wake up to my plight, so life did the waking for me. I'm not telling you this for sympathy. I don't want you to be empathetic to me. But I'm telling you this because I don't want anyone to make the same mistakes I made. Or if you are currently making the same mistakes I made, to wake up from it before life does the waking for you. I think I tried to ask for help in my own subtle, passive way, but I was asking other people for permission to slow down, back off, cut back. I did not prioritize my own burnout. I could feel it. It was soul-sucking. I was in a situation that I did not enjoy, and yet I did absolutely nothing about it. Out of fear, out of weakness, whatever the reason, I did not prioritize and do the things that I needed to do in order to mitigate my stress and burnout. I was looking for some benevolent person to say, "Wow, you seem really stressed and burned out. Why don't you do this and this and this?" That was not going to happen. You can't have that expectation on other people. I was waiting for permission to back off. I was waiting for permission to cut back instead of granting it to myself, knowing deep down that I needed it. A big part of avoiding what happened to me is learning to establish boundaries and say no. I am terrible at both. I have never valued myself enough to think that I could possibly have the audacity to say no or set a boundary when I felt like life was encroaching on me too much. I had to do whatever I could to fill the needs of everyone around me. Otherwise, what was my purpose? I had to say yes. I had to help. I had to commit. I had to work. That's where my value lied. I did not see myself as valuable enough just as a human being. I had to establish my value by committing to everything and everyone. You have to value yourself to understand when you are saying no, you are not saying no to that person. It is not a personal rejection. You are not disrespecting them. You are saying no to the request, to the activity, to the event. That's it. It's not personal, and all people will respect that. Even if they are not happy, they will respect it. I'm not happy when people tell me no. In fact, a lot of times I take it personally, but I respect the fact that they can articulate their boundaries, and I'm always very envious of people that can do that. I have no boundaries, I have realized. Again, and because in my mind, setting a boundary would insinuate to people that I am more important than them, that I am more important than the event, that I am more important than the activity. And I had to do everything I could to make sure people liked me, that I satisfied their expectations, that I lived up to those expectations, give them no reason to reject me. Those are my issues that I have to work through. I'm working on this, but it's extremely difficult. I had become aware of this problem of mine prior to the Serve Idaho conference. After the reset button was hit on my life, people would ask me what I wanted, what I liked to do. I had no idea. I was literally baffled by such a simple question. None. What do I like to do? What are my hobbies? I had no answers to these questions. I would just stare blankly, thinking, how ridiculous is this? I don't even know what I like. I am literally still to this day right now trying to figure that out. Part of establishing boundaries and being able to say no is prioritizing yourself. And that's hard, especially for givers and empaths, people whose job it is to help, teachers, volunteers, nonprofit organizers, doctors, nurses. It feels selfish. Like if I'm taking care of myself, then that means I am not taking care of these other people. And that is my calling. They need my help. It's called self-care, and without it, we will burn ourselves out. It's not selfish. It's mandatory. It is a necessary process to make sure we don't lose ourselves in the giving to others, to make sure we don't become resentful and in the end cause more harm than good because we did not take care of ourselves. I'm terrible at this, partly because doing for others truly does make me happy, and partly because I'm a martyr. I sacrifice myself. It's a bad habit and one I need to break. Helping and giving are truly altruistic practices. Martyrdom, on the other hand, is selfish and misguided. Self-care is a slow and somewhat painful process for me. I'd forgotten how much I love walking, so I make sure I do that daily. It gives me time to think. I don't run. I don't sweat. I don't do it to increase my heart rate. Any health benefits are purely coincidental. Hell, half the time I do it while smoking a cigar because I enjoy it. It's something I do for me. I literally get more thinking done when I can listen to my music and just walk than at any other time. It forces me to eliminate distractions. I have learned I love podcasts. I will often listen to those while I walk. I had forgotten how much I loved sunsets. And luckily enough for me, I have a tremendous view near my home. And walking helps facilitate me experiencing more sunsets, all of which bring me little bits of peace. Life intervened once again and did something for me that I never would have done for myself. I had a friend who gifted me a membership to a yoga studio. I didn't ask. This wasn't a request. It came out of nowhere. I had done a little yoga in the past, very little, and was intrigued by the meditative processes that go along with it, and I would regularly joke about doing hot yoga, but had never actually done it. Yoga has become my new hobby. I don't have many. I'm working on it, but yoga has been amazing for me mentally, physically, and spiritually, although that is very much a work in progress. It genuinely was a gift. I go to hot yoga several days a week, and it never fails to make me feel better. I can do something good for myself that I like. It doesn't make me sore. I don't have to lift heavy things. I don't have to run. I get to think. It's perfect. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm terrible at it. It is not something that I excel at. And yet somehow in that is something unique as well. I don't like to embarrass myself. I don't like to do things that I'm not good at. I don't like to throw myself out of in front of people where I might do something embarrassing. And yet in hot yoga, you enter a room wearing only athletic shorts, a room full of women, and you do something that you are terrible at, and it doesn't even seem to faze me. That is a unique experience for me and something I am trying to apply across the board in all avenues of my life. I had forgotten how much I like to read, so I'm reintroducing myself to literacy. I had forgotten how much I love the movies, and I'm reintroducing myself to the cinema. Now, I have quite a bit of time on my hands at this point in my life, so that's fine and dandy. But the real challenge will be to see how I maintain these boundaries and say no as I get more busy, as life starts to expand and evolve, and there are real situations where I have to know when and where to draw lines to help maintain my own sanity and not repeat the cycle that I previously experienced. And avoid putting myself right back into a resentful mindset that will hurt me and those around me. The result of that will be interesting. All of this coming back to you guys, I challenge you to analyze your day. Do you feel comfortable saying no? Do you have well-defined boundaries? Do you practice self-care? Do you prioritize yourself in any way, shape, or form? If the answer to any of those is no, then I would prioritize working on that. Understanding that your best self means that you can give to others in the best possible way. If you are not operating as your best self, then you are not giving as your best self. And so everyone suffers. I hope you can do all these things better than I did. I appreciate you listening. I hope to be back soon with another podcast. Please take care of yourselves. We'll see you next time.